Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonied or astonished at thee, his visage or his physical appearance was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, that is the Messiah, shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and this was not the chastisement of a father in love, but an act of vindictive justice from an almighty God against his only son. So when you read the chastisement of our peace was upon him, know that he was crushed for our iniquities, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings on this hour, and that you would receive the honor and the glory, and that you would speak to hearts this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Never was there ever a man to suffer in the world like the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. Nor shall there ever be one to suffer as he suffered. The reason for his sufferings is not to be a foreign concept to you and I. The reason for his suffering is the penalty and punishment for the sins of the ungodly and wicked world. For you, if you will receive it. Sins against the commands and love of a holy and righteous God, the punishment of which was placed squarely upon his person and upon his holy soul. Matthew 1:21 says, he shall save his people from their sins. In the Lord Jesus, or if the Lord Jesus rather, had not suffered and died for the sins of the world, the just anger and wrath of God against sinners would never have been satisfied. Never would it have been satisfied for any. There would be no payment for sin. There would be no atonement for sinners. There would be no reconciliation to God for any of us as enemies of God. And there would be no way to approach a holy and offended God. There would be no way for us to have access to God unless Christ went to that cruel cross of Golgotha. Acts 13:38 says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him and by him alone, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Never has anyone ever endured the hatred and anger and malice and contradiction of sinners against their persons like Jesus personally in his life. You should never think of Jesus as if he was in God form only as he suffered. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says this. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Understand that the sins and offenses for which he suffered were not his own, and yet he bore them and died for them willingly because he loved those sinners that committed them. He loved his enemies, and that is why he suffered for their sins. Understand, therefore, Christian, that your sins were his tears. Your sins was the whips on his back. Your sins was the spit in his face. Your sins were his griefs. Your sins were his sorrows for you who were his enemies. Your sins are why the Jews looked at him and said, you're not yet 50 years old. And he was a 33-year-old man. He carried our griefs and our sorrows in his own person. Our sins and our sorrows began with our first parents. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Don't blame Adam for your sin. Adam's sin is your sin and my sin. He represented mankind. And so what Adam did, you did in Adam. So it is your sin. You are responsible for your sins before God. Consider Adam and Eve in their first year to look and realize that their sin had affected every aspect of their lives. The birth and raising of their children, Adam's work in trying to make a living, their whole family, and consequently the whole human family was affected by one man's sin. One man. Let's bring it down to you. Your sins affect you. You can blame your sins on no one else but yourself. They're yours and you're responsible for them. In just a few short years of Adam and Eve's life, their first son, Cain, would murder their second son, Abel. Can you imagine the sorrow and the grief that they experienced when this happened? Parents, you know the griefs and sorrows that you experience from witnessing the sins of your own children. When you consider the magnitude of the sin that originated in the first family, it is staggering. For almost a millennium, Adam watched humanity descend into a thick darkness and rampant wickedness, knowing that it was the result of his own sin against God and his Creator. In Genesis chapter 6, in just a few short years, God proclaimed this about the world. In Genesis 6:5, the scriptures teach us that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It's amazing, just in Genesis 6. And every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. That's us. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. We start to understand Jesus Christ being a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As a result, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Psalm 32 says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Have you ever considered that if you're in Christ today, that Jesus Christ carried every single sorrow that you ever experienced, every grief that you ever experienced? Do you ever realize that every sin that you ever committed or ever will commit was laid upon him and he was punished for it? Every single sin was laid upon Christ. How much do we owe our lives? It brings new meaning to that passage that you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. You should rejoice to be a servant of God and that you've been bought by him, that you're no longer under your old slave master, the devil, but as you've been translated out of his kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Whom would you serve today? Would you serve the world and the wickedness of the world and the God of this world, or would you serve Christ? Just look around you in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in the news, among our leaders, in our nation. The world is full of wickedness and sin, and every last bit of it is our doing. We did it. It's our fault. Every individual human soul born into the world enters into it with their own sins to contend with. Listen, it doesn't take very long for a cute and cuddly baby to turn into a rebellious and disobedient and defiant sinner. Understand, therefore, this morning that your sins are yours and no one else's. They are yours to deal with before God. They are yours to forsake. You are responsible for them. You will die in them unforgiven if you're lost, unless you turn from your sins to Christ for forgiveness. Unless you turn from your sins to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. Ms. Pat and I just talked a moment ago about that grace gem that I sent out the other day talks about the blackness and darkness of hell. Sobering it is. How could someone see that and go on in their sins? Well, it's because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. Unless God awakens sinners from their dead and dark sleep of death, they will not believe. Unless one, even if one came out of hell smoking and warning those that would fall into that Christless pit, even someone coming out of hell would not convince those if they believed not the scriptures. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear you. Brethren, sin is bad. I want you to see how bad it is. I want you to see what it did to the Son of Man. Because of our sins, because of our wickedness, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 64 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Don't cover your sins. Don't hide your sins from God. Confess them unto the Lord. At this point, if you're lost, you ought to be saying within your heart, what must I do to be saved? Paul said to that jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Let the griefs and sorrows of your sins be the Lord's. Let him bear the iniquity of your sins on his cross. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Listen to Isaiah. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's such a blessed truth. So if that is true, will I go on and sin more and add more grief to my life? Will I trample underfoot the sacrifice of the Son of God by sinning more? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Oh, brethren, let us see the exceeding sinfulness of sin and that it drives us away from God. It brings more grief, more suffering into our lives. Do not trifle with sin. He bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, spoken of the people of Israel concerning the Christ. There was no attractiveness in him to them. He hath no form nor comeliness. He doesn't look majestic like a king. Why should we desire him? Who hath believed our report, saith the prophet? But the Bible says that which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, that even though that was the case, himself bare our infirmities. He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Throughout his earthly life, he was bearing and carrying the weight, the sicknesses, the plagues, the sorrows and griefs of suffering sinners. You can begin to understand why his physical appearance was so marred in Isaiah 52:14. Don't think that that was so much because of how they treated him. It was because of our sins that were upon him. You understand why he was so marred in his physical appearance. Why a 33-year-old man looked like he was in his 50s. Let your sins be forgiven in the Son of Man if you're lost. Let them be nailed to his cross. Let Christ bear your sins and take them away from you. He is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. He does not save us from our sins so that we can continue to sin. He saves us from our sins so that we would stop sinning. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Don't buy into that cop-out, well, you know, we're just going to sin. Don't say that. Turn from your sins every single day, beloved of God. The griefs and sorrows of our Lord, I want you to know, were real and personal. But understand that his sorrows were not because of his own sins and his own transgressions against God, but because of yours and my sins. Never forget that Jesus was not only fully God, but he was also fully man. And so he experienced every feeling that you experience. He experienced every human emotion that you do. Hebrews 2:14, turn to it. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews 2 and 14. It says this of our Lord, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. In other words, the devil who had us, his captives, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or comfort them that are tempted. Look at that chapter 5 and verse 7. Chapter 5 of Hebrews and verse 7. Scripture there says of Christ, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. That's an amazing thing to speak of the Son of God. Though he were a son, yet, notice, learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Are you one of them? Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. Luke chapter 22 and verse 39. I want you to see that Jesus was a real man. Just like you, he was a real human man. With every emotion, just like you and I, tempted just like you and I. He felt pain just like you and I. He got hungry just like you and I. We saw Hebrews, he feared like you and I. Verse 39, before they came and took him, it says he came out and went as he was wont, that is, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. In the other accounts of the gospel, we know that he said, watch with me. That's like saying, pray for me and with me. He said in verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. In the days of Jesus' humanity, he veiled and limited his divinity. He emptied himself of his glory and of his majesty. He came into the world as a man to suffer and die for the sins of mankind. He made himself of no reputation, Philippians says. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For the joy that was set before him, for the joy that was set before him, for you, Christian, for the great love that he had for you. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, Christian. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There are countless thousands today that could care less about that worthy message. There are so many. There are people at this very moment dying in their sins, dying and dropping into an eternity of blackness and darkness and a place where they will be tormented and punished throughout all eternity, a place from whence they cannot return. David said in 1 Samuel, there's but a step between me and death. Once you take that step of death, you cannot return from it. Listen to the things that Jesus heard as a man. Apply them to yourself. The things that Jesus heard as a man, he heard, he has no form nor comeliness, meaning there was nothing kingly or majestic about his appearance, his family, or his beginnings. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Is not this the carpenter's son? His own family in John chapter 7 did not even believe in him. He was continually taunted and berated by religious leaders of his day. He was called a devil and one who was illegitimately born. Born of fornication, they said. Even up to his cross, as a man, they hurled insults at him. He saved others, himself he cannot save. As a man, he experienced every sorrow that you and I do. This is the great comfort, though, for us. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. When we see him living a life as a man, as a perfect man, as a sinless man, never sinning against God, he is our example. He is the one that we trust. He is our great high priest that has passed into the heavens. He is the one that we go to. He is the one through which we have access to the Father. Verse 14 says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What that means is he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, because he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so every sin that you are tempted with, every grief, every sorrow, every situation in your life, the Lord Jesus faced it. And he faced it and overcame it. So in Christ, you must go to him for the ability to not fall into that sin by which you were tempted. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As a man, Jesus experienced the grief and the sorrow that he was going to the cross, knowing what would happen to him in his death. These were the sorrows of his soul in anticipation of taking upon himself the sins of fallen humanity. Luke chapter 12 and verse 50, he said to his apostles, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened or pained or distressed until it be accomplished? Until it be accomplished. He set his heart and his mind toward that cross for the great love that he had for the sins of his people. Matthew 26 and 36 says, then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane. And then he took with him the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Do you see that sorrow, that exceeding sorrow that our Lord Jesus went through? Note, he said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He went away one time. He went away a second time. He went away a third time and prayed, saying the same words. He was in anticipation of what was before him, and it was agonizing to him as a man. I can't even come close to imagining the sorrow of his soul at this point in his earthly life. It is beyond me. But I do know that it was for my sins and my rebellion against God. Mine were the sins that were upon him, along with so many other sinners in the world. Were your sins upon him? Was Jesus dying for your sins? Was he suffering for you? You must know that some 2,000 years ago when he was dying on the cross, if you believe Christ, that he was dying for your sins. If you're not a Christian, then you must believe in that cross. You must believe in his sacrifice for your sins. Every sinner must take responsibility for his or herself. After he prayed that agonizing prayer and he was strengthened by the angel, the scripture says that he spoke to his disciples and he said, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? So we see the Lord strengthening him as he cast his burden and the sorrows of his people upon his Father, being obedient in his death. Finally, he experienced the sorrows of death in dying like a sinner and being numbered with the transgressors. Do you realize that he died like a sinner? God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Think about what that means. God made him to be sin, the perfect sinless Son of God. Think about what that means. He became sin. He had to become sin. Our sins had to be upon him so that God could punish him and slay his own son. Upon the cross, there were many people watching. Some of his disciples, there were religious leaders, there were Roman soldiers, and there was a mob. But they only saw the human suffering. They did not see the sufferings of his soul. They did not see that. Mark 15:24, look at it. In Mark 15:24 and 25, the scripture says there, in Mark chapter 15 and verse 24, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments and casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour and they crucified him. The third hour of the Jewish day was 9 a.m. in the morning. From 9 a.m. to 12 noon, they beheld his human suffering. They could see it. It was visible. They looked upon him. They heard his groaning. They saw his writhing in pain. They heard his words. They could mock him and jeer at him. Mark 15:33. And when the sixth hour was come, which is high noon, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? From high noon until 3 p.m., God veiled and darkened the sun, and there was darkness over the whole land. No human eye would enter into the sufferings and torment that took place in the soul of the Son of Man. Some say that God died there, but God cannot die. This was Jesus, the Son of Man, dying as a man, dying as a perfect, sinless, spotless man, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It was in this darkness that his father would lift his terrible cup of indignation and wrath to his lips, to the lips of Christ, and Christ would drink all of it, every last bit of it, down to the dregs for the worst of sinners. He would drink the wine of the indignation and wrath of God for the sins of his people. Hence the eternal sorrow which we in Christ will never experience, Christ drank. Spoken in the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you're in Christ this morning, he died in your place. He bore your griefs. He bore your sorrows and your sins in his own body and in his own holy soul upon the cross on that bloody tree. When his father deserted and forsook his soul, it was so that your soul would be delivered from being eternally damned and forsaken by God in your sins in a godless hell. Not only in Christ do I know now, only in Christ do I know what it means to experience the true joy of being forgiven for my sins and saved from my sins. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 11 says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. In closing, if you're in Christ, all of your griefs and sorrows are from your own sins. When we sin now and we have grief and sorrow, even in our lives as Christians, it's because of our own sins. If you're lost, your griefs and your sorrows are from your own sins, and you need to be saved from your sins. You need to turn from your sins to Christ. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And the scripture promises he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon those that come to him. To the lost, you are responsible for your own sins. To turn from your own sins to Christ in repentance and faith. If you turn not, you will suffer for your sins eternally in hell, from whence you cannot return. And the last thing I will say is, there will be no second chances at this thing of life. There is no second chance. There are no mulligans. There will be no more opportunities. And so awake from your dead sleep if you're lost and believe Christ today. Christian, remember the Lord's Supper that we took this morning. Remember the broken body and shed blood of Christ for your sins. Remember his sufferings, that he bore your griefs and your sorrows, and that is why in the days of his flesh He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Amen. We'll dismiss in prayer. I pray.